Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Do the cares and the distractions and the busyness and the pressures and the stress of the day cause our mind to be trying to worship the Lord? Maybe this only happens to me. Trying to worship the Lord, but you're thinking about all of the activities or all of the things that happen throughout the day. And as we were singing that song, this is our daily bread. You know, every day God has fresh manna for us. And He really doesn't require much of us except our attention. That's really what He wants. He really wants our attention because He does have fresh bread and He has fresh manna for us every day. So I was challenged during the worship. Lord, I want to be able to move quickly into Your presence. I don't want to have to sing and sing and sing and sing. And I think that that is not always an easy thing to do. How many of you would agree that that's not always an easy thing to do? So I appreciate this about the Lord. He speaks to us all the time. He speaks to us all the time when we're sensitive to His voice. Thank you. I echo what Pastor Kurt said. Thank you for being here tonight. You braved the weather, and as I was looking out and thinking last night, I had my Bible college class, and people did the same thing. They braved the weather, and tonight you braved the weather. Why do you do that? Why do you do that? You do that. I'll answer the question. I know why you do that. You do that because you love the Lord, you love to worship the Lord, and you're hungry for His Word. And so we didn't come just to be entertained. We came to really be inspired in worship because God is worthy of our praise, and then to dive into His Word. So that's what we're going to do. So again, thank you for being here. My name's Blake. I'm one of the pastors on staff, if I've not officially met you. And I'm excited because the next 3 out of 4 weeks, we're going to talk about some things specific to our lives, and they're going to tie in with the Momentum campaign. If you look at this wall up here, 40 days of momentum. Pastor George did our first pre-campaign message this weekend. We'll have another pre-campaign message, and then we're going to move into 40 days of momentum. All of those little things up there, you can't really tell unless you're close, are commitment cards. They're commitment cards that were signed by us, and we said we want to commit for the next 40 days to spiritual momentum in our lives. And so these Wednesdays, my prayer is that we're going to dovetail together with what God has for us in momentum. And we're going to do that by looking at Nehemiah. Now, before you close your mind to Nehemiah and say, well, he was a leader and he was called to a specific task, let's just put the brakes on right there. And let's say that if it's in the Word, it's for me, right? If it's in the Word, it's for me. So here's what I want to do. I want us to pray. And I want us to dive in, and I want to share with you this week, next week, and then on the 16th, some things from the book of Nehemiah that I believe are life principles that we can use today, and things that will help us to not only get momentum, but maintain momentum in our walks with the Lord. This morning, we were here some 13 hours ago for men's prayer. And as we were singing that song about our daily bread, one of the things Pastor George challenged us to pray over this morning in our men's prayer meeting were 9 promises from God's Word. And the one that stuck with me was from the book of Isaiah. And the reason it probably stuck with me is because I'm at a place right now where this resonated with me. And I want to read just the first couple of verses to you, and then we're going to dive right into our outline. In Isaiah chapter 43, the Lord says this, and I'm reading it to you because it ministered to me. This is what the Lord says, He who created Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by my name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and the flames will not set you ablaze. I walked through here this morning just thanking God for that daily bread. And so my prayer as we pray tonight is that you will receive from the Lord some daily bread. tonight as we're studying His Word. So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, as we come to Your Word tonight, Lord, we don't come with ritual on our minds, with regulation, with rule. We come with expectation, knowing, God, that Your Word is alive, knowing, Lord, that the principles that were written hundreds and even thousands of years ago apply to our lives today, God. And so, Lord, I pray that a fresh manna would be served up in our hearts, that when we leave here tonight, we will be able to say that not only has it been good to be with You and Your people, but, Lord, we'll leave here filled up with the truth of Your Word. Father, as we study life principles from Nehemiah, let our hearts be receptive, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Nehemiah. I have a fairly new Bible that was given to me, and so I actually made the first marks in the book of Nehemiah in my new Bible, and I love to do that. Over time, the Bible, it will get all marked up, and I want to start in the book of Nehemiah, and I want to start by asking you to think about something when it comes to this man, Nehemiah. We always tend to exclude ourselves from the significant things that God wants to do in the world. And I don't know why we do that. I think we sometimes in our minds, whether it's intentionally or unintentionally, think that when and if it happened in the Bible, it was the most important thing that ever happened in the history of humanity. I don't know that that's necessarily true. It happened when it happened, and it was important, but your life and my life and what we do today is just as significant as what we read about in the Scriptures. We don't know what 200 years from now is going to look like. We don't know what 500 years from now is going to look like. We don't know what 10,000 years from now is going to look like. We think we may be gone. What if we're not? What if we, when I say we, I hope I'm gone in 10,000 years. What if planet Earth is not gone in 10,000 years? And what if in 500 years somebody reads about your life? What if somebody reads the history of your life and is so inspired by the life you lived in following Christ that they follow the Lord? Now, this man, Nehemiah, that we're going to talk about for the next 3 weeks, I think had no idea how significant his life was going to be, had no idea how significant the impact that he would make in history would make in our lives today. You can't find anything written about Nehemiah outside of this book. This book is about a 12-year span of history. God shows up in this time in history, and He wants to do something very significant, and He calls this man Nehemiah. And my challenge for you tonight, and this is what we're going to look at, this life lesson from the book of Nehemiah, we're going to look at going from the mission that God has us called to the assignments God wants us involved in. And I'm going to try to explain the difference to you. We're all on a mission, and I'm going to prove that to you tonight, but within the mission, God has specific assignments, and that's exactly what the book of Nehemiah was about. The book of Nehemiah is about specific assignments that God called this man Nehemiah to. Now, what my challenge for myself and for you is going to be in the next 3 weeks is to find out what is the assignment that God has for us right now. Or what is the assignment that you're involved in right now, and what is God trying to do in your life? So, from my mission to my assignment. Let's start by looking at Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And I'm reading it to you from the New Living Translation. These are the memoirs of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. In late autumn in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was at the fortress of Susa. Hanai, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some men who had just arrived from Judah. I asked them about the news of those who had returned from the captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. They said to me, "Things are not going well for those who returned to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire." When I heard this, I sat down and I wept. In fact, for days I mourned and fasted and prayed to the God of heaven. So here's this man, Nehemiah, who is some 800 miles away from Jerusalem, and he has a brother come and tell him about the condition of this city that he loves where he has family. Now, he's got a life and he's got a comfortable life. He's cupbearer to the king. So he's got a comfortable life. He doesn't have really any problems that we know of, but something down on the inside of him begins to stir. And when we as God's people follow God in the mission that God has given to us, something will begin to stir in our hearts, and it's oftentimes an assignment from the Lord. There's something that God wants to do in and through you, and it's an assignment specifically handpicked for you. Little did Nehemiah know that in just a few short months, he would go 800 miles from where he was to Jerusalem, and he would strategically be used by God to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. The temple was mostly intact, but the walls were down and the city was vulnerable. But the interesting thing about Nehemiah was that there was something stirring inside of his heart, because the Bible says when his brother comes, he questions his brother about what's happening in Jerusalem. When there's the stirring of God in our hearts, we begin to ask questions about what's going on. Watch for that. Watch for that in your life. When the stirrings of God begin to happen in your life, questions begin to arise. Nehemiah is saying, what's going on in Jerusalem? What's happening in Jerusalem? Little did he know that the asking of that question was going to open a gigantic door. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions, because God has assignments for every single one of us. And I'm going to prove to you over the next few weeks how significant these assignments are. These assignments can be very short term or they can be very long term. And we're going to even look at that today. Rick Warren said this. It's not on your outline, but Rick Warren said this: nothing becomes dynamic until it becomes specific. I think that's true. Nothing becomes dynamic until it becomes specific. When we begin to understand the mission that God's called us to, and within that mission we begin to discover the assignments that God has for us, then it starts to become specific in our lives, and then we begin to get excited about what God is doing in our lives. So as an outsider looking in, you can look at this man Nehemiah and you can see the wheels starting to turn in his heart. Why? Because God is speaking to his heart. God doesn't work any different today. God speaks to the hearts of his people today because he has assignments in the world that he wants accomplished, and he does it through you and I. And he's looking for our response, and he's looking for our obedience. So, on your outline, I gave you the definition of mission. Here's the definition of a mission: an assigned or a self-imposed duty or task, a calling or vocation. Now, on my outline, I highlighted an assigned, and then I highlighted self-imposed. I would submit this to you, and here's why I highlighted it. If this is by definition true, a mission is an assigned or self-imposed duty, task, calling, or vocation. God has assigned to every one of us a mission, and I'm going to tell you what that is in just a moment. But there comes a time in our lives when the assignments need to be self-imposed. In other words, as God begins to speak to our hearts, we need to respond in obedience. That's exactly what Nehemiah did. When you read the book of Nehemiah, you see that his heart was so stirred that he couldn't stay in where he was. He couldn't stay the cupbearer to the king, and he had to go some 800 miles to Jerusalem. That was something that was self-imposed. He was so burdened in his heart by the condition of the city that he loved and what the people were experiencing that he said, I have to go. So number one on your outline, let's begin to go through this and unpack this a little bit. Number one, every follower of Jesus has the same mission. And here's the mission: to fulfill the great commandment and the great commission. That is every one of our missions. The great commandment: love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then the Great Commission: go therefore into all nations and make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. That's your mission. Say thank you. Say it like you mean it. Say thank you. That's your mission from God. That's my mission from God. The Great Commandment and the Great Commission. Now, if we're honest with ourselves, there are times that we get weary, I believe. in the great commandment and the great commission. Here's what I was thinking about today, and let me just give you this analogy. When I got up this morning and I went to prayer meeting, I was leaving my house at about 5:45, and when I turned around the corner to leave my neighborhood, I turned, and because of all of the snow that started to fall last night, I noticed one of my neighbors who has a Hummer that's parked out. He has two Hummers, actually. One he parks in the driveway, and one he parks out in front of his house. And I noticed as I turned the corner that a tree fell right on top of his Hummer. The weight of the snow was so heavy that it dropped that tree right on top of the Hummer, the same way that the Hummer is parked in the street. The tree was so big that it actually looked like somebody tried to hide the Hummer under the tree. That's how big the tree was. I don't even know how bad the Hummer was, but here's what I thought about. Here's the analogy and the picture that I thought about. The leaves on that tree were no bigger than this. So how much snow could you put on one of those leaves? An ounce, 2 ounces, or 3 ounces? Maybe. But I thought when you start accumulating weight and heaviness, or you start getting bogged down over and over and over by just the routine of life and the routine of the world, if we're not careful, the weight or the pressures of things do amazing things to us. Here's these little tiny leaves, but all in accumulation, the weight of that snow snaps that tree over. And here's why I believe, and here's the analogy, the picture that I had in my mind. Here's why I believe that within or underneath of our mission assignment or our mission, we have specific assignments. Because these specific assignments that God gives to us refresh us. When God gives you an assignment, our mission is to fulfill the great commandment and the great commission. We're going to do that for the rest of our lives. Within that mission come specific assignments. And those assignments refresh us. And they shake off the weight of the world, and they shake off the heaviness that if we're not careful, eventually the heaviness and the weight of the world and doing even good things over and over and over, the pressure of those things sometimes breaks us. We know, is that not true? Sometimes just the pressures of life and the weight of the world comes down and it begins to break us. So let me move into the difference between understanding that mission, which is all important, and the specific assignments that God is calling us to. Number one on your outline is this. If I'm going to not only fulfill my mission but my assignment, I must be willing and make myself available to God's mission. I have to do that. I have to first of all be willing, and then I have to make myself available to God's mission. Am I doing that? Are we making ourselves available to the mission and the assignments that God has for us? Nobody can force us to do that. When you read about Nehemiah, you see that he was doing that. He was willing to be shaken from his circumstances. He had a good job. His 401k was probably intact, and everything was probably fine for Nehemiah. Why would he want to shake up his world? Why would he want to do that? Because there's a stirring of God inside of him, and the stirring is this. God, I'm going to make myself available to you. I'm going to make myself available to you. I think there's three questions that probably all of us ask in life at some point or maybe multiple times in life. It's not on your outline, but these are the three questions. Do I have what it takes? I think somewhere in the core of who we are, we wrestle sometimes with that question. Do I have what it takes? I don't think God is surprised by that question. But if we're stuck there, if we're stuck at do I have what it takes, and we don't believe, yes, I do have what it takes, then we won't shake ourselves free, and we won't fulfill what God has called us to do. That's the beautiful thing about Nehemiah. He was willing to shake himself free of his comfortable lifestyle and say, God, I am available to do whatever you want to do, and I'm available to go wherever you want me to go. That needs to be the cry of our heart. So we ask that question, do I have what it takes? The second question that I think we wrestle with often is, what if I fail? What if I fail? What if I step out, and what if I fail? The fact of the matter is this. So what if you fail? So what if you fail? You're going to fail. I am going to fail. But if I'm not going to move because I'm afraid that I'm going to fail, I'll never do anything in life. So I've got to be willing to say, God, even if I fail, this thing is so stirring inside of me. Imagine what was going on in Nehemiah. He had job security. The cupbearer to the king meant that he had the closest position to the king because he was the man that tasted the wine. He was the man that tasted the food to make sure that somebody wasn't trying to assassinate the king, to make sure somebody wasn't trying to kill the king. So he had job security. The king trusted him. But there was something on the inside of him. Do I have what it takes? There's something going on in Jerusalem, and there's something stirring on the inside of me. I wonder if I'm the person. And God was moving him from his mission. His mission at that time was he was cupbearer to the king. But God had specific assignments for him in Jerusalem. And then the third question I think we probably all wrestle with at one point. Will it be worth it? Will all of this be worth it? In the end, all of this service, all of this sacrifice, will it be worth it? I think we all know, every one of us in this room, that it will be worth it. Doesn't mean it's easy, but it will be worth it. So let me give you a couple bullet points. Let's open up our outline. Let me give you a couple bullet points related to our mission, because we have to understand our mission before we can move into our assignment. If we're going to fulfill the mission and or the assignments that God has for us, then we have to reject excuses that keep me stalled. Are there excuses that are keeping you stalled? Are there things that are keeping you from moving forward? Are you looking at the circumstances in life? Are you looking at the pressures or the demands in life? And are they keeping you stalled? Are they keeping me stalled? Are they keeping me from moving out? Because if they are, then I need to evaluate that. Because if there's a stirring in my heart to do something, then there's certainly going to be this going on. The enemy speaking to me. The enemy, whether he uses fear or intimidation or whatever it is that he tries to use to keep me from doing what God has called me to do. How are you doing with the excuses in life? Is it easy? Is it easy to make them? Is it easy to say, well, you know what, this season in my life, or I'm too busy, or we have to examine that. The man or the woman of God cannot afford to live unexamined lives. We just can't. We have to examine our lives, and we have to, if we're stalled, then we have to say, why is it that we are stalled? The next bullet point on your outline is this. A mission must inspire you to act and be greater than your comfort. So the mission that God has called me to, the great commandment and the great commission, it has to inspire me to act. It has to inspire me to do something, and it has to be greater than my comfort. We have all of the comforts that the world can afford. And we have to push through the comforts. It's easy to go through the motions. But when we get connected to the assignments that God has, and we'll see that over the next 3 weeks. Next week, we're going to talk specifically about the significance and the importance of prayer in moving through missions and assignments. And then the final week, we're going to talk about distractions, discouragement, and deadly attacks. Because they're going to come. Distractions are going to come. Discouragements are going to come. Deadly attacks are going to come. And we're going to learn from Nehemiah how to get through all of those things. But is your mission, is it inspiring you to act beyond that which makes you comfortable? Look at what John chapter 17 says in verses 16 through 19 in the Message translation. Here's Jesus speaking. They are no more defined by the world than I am defined by the world. Make them holy, consecrated with the truth. Your word is consecrating truth. This is Jesus speaking right before he's going to the cross. In the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. So Jesus came with a mission. He transferred that mission and that responsibility to you and I. I'm consecrating myself for their sakes, so there'll be truth consecrated in their mission. I love that. So there'll be truth consecrated in their mission. So here's the question on your outline. Maybe you can fill it in now, maybe you can fill it out later. In what areas, or in what area maybe, is God asking you to step out? See, God was stirring the heart of Nehemiah to step out. We haven't read it yet, but that's what's happening. When Nehemiah begins to inquire of his brother what's happening in Jerusalem, God is stirring his heart, and the stirring of his heart is going to compel him to step out. So in what areas is God asking you to step out? We're talking about momentum, and we're talking about moving forward, and we're talking about that thrust, and Pastor George used that rocket and that thrust and all of the energy that it takes to get that thing off of the ground. In what area is God asking you to step out? Sometimes we think it has to be bigger than it needs to be. Sometimes it can just be a small step that God is asking us to take. Is there an area? And if there is, write it down. Number three on your outline. God wants me, say that's me. God wants me to embrace my mission. What does that look like? What does it look like to embrace my mission? It means that I take ownership of it. It means that whatever it is that God is calling me into, whatever it is that God's calling me to do, that I take ownership of it. Nehemiah takes ownership of what God has called him to do. When you read this book, you can't help but see that he takes ownership of what God has called him to do. Now, here's the interesting thing about Nehemiah, and we'll unpack this as we go forward in the next 3 weeks. There's a couple things that are interesting for Nehemiah. The time span for the book of Nehemiah is approximately 12 years. So when you read the book of Nehemiah, it's about a 12-year length of time. So when Nehemiah says to the king, "Will you release me to go to Jerusalem?" The king agrees to do that. Nehemiah's gone for about 12 years. That's how long he's gone. Within that 12-year time period, Nehemiah has two distinct and specific assignments. The first one lasts 52 days. The first assignment lasts 52 days. It's the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. His second assignment lasts over 11 years, where he begins to put back together to reconstruct community life within the walls of Jerusalem. The exterior walls were built, but now he's got to build community walls, and he's got to build community life. And so the interesting thing about Nehemiah is under the umbrella of his mission, he had two specific assignments, one very short term, 52 days, one fairly long term, 11 and a half years. It works that way in our lives. There are going to be times in your life, there are going to be times in my life that God may have an assignment for me that's going to be a week or 2 weeks or a month or 6 months. God may have assignments that are going to last 5 years, 10 years, or 15 years. We need to understand that God works that way. We need to understand that God doesn't always explain himself. Have we figured that out? God doesn't always explain himself to us and explain what he's doing in our lives. So what do I need to do? I've got to embrace the mission. I've got to embrace what God's calling me to, even if I don't have all the answers. If we're waiting for all the answers, we're going to live a miserable Christian life. Because the truth is, God doesn't give us the answers. You've heard me say this before. The promises of God belong to us, but the ways of God do not. We can cling to every promise in God's word and we can hold on to it, but the Bible says in Isaiah that his ways are higher than ours and his thoughts higher than ours. So God does not have to explain himself to us. So what we need to do then is embrace the mission. That's what Nehemiah did. So often then, with embracing that mission, often sacrifice, even great sacrifices, are required. When Nehemiah embraced this mission, there were sacrifices that he had to make, great sacrifices. He had to leave. He had to go. He didn't know what it would mean. He didn't know for sure that his job would not be replaced. He didn't know for sure if when he went, he would be afforded safe travel back. There were many more questions than there were answers. But Nehemiah was willing to make the sacrifices. When we move from mission to assignments in walking with God, we have to make sacrifices. What are the sacrifices God's asking us to make? Listen to what Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 10 and 11 say. They are your servants. Here's the cry of Nehemiah's heart. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was cupbearer to the king. The sacrifices that Nehemiah was making that nobody would see in Jerusalem, the sacrifices that he was making was he was taking a great risk in going to the king. The king could have had him immediately killed for the request. The king could have rejected. All kinds of things could have happened. But Nehemiah was willing to lay it all on the line. He was willing to lay it all on the line, All the risk, no guarantees. Sometimes that's what it means when we're following God. That's what all in means when we're following God. It means that we're willing to take risks with no guarantees. Sometimes we step out. Nehemiah had no guarantees. He's asking for favor. He's praying, God, give me favor so when I go to the king, I'll have favor to be successful. We need to be willing to make sacrifices. If we're going to fulfill the assignments that God has for us, it's going to require sacrifice. The top of your next page, here's the definition of the word assignment. Let's talk about assignment for a minute. Assignment is this: something assigned as a particular task or duty, a position of responsibility. Very similar to mission, but maybe a little more specific. Something assigned as a particular task or duty, a position of responsibility. There are assignments that God has just for you. They're not for me, and they're not for anybody else. This assignment was for Nehemiah. This assignment was for Nehemiah to go to Jerusalem, to gather the troops, to rally the troops, to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, and then to invest in community life for some 11 years. There are assignments out there that only you can fulfill. And you've got to embrace that assignment. You've got to make sacrifices and be willing to say, God, whatever it takes, whatever it is that you're calling me to do, I want to do it. Isn't that why we're here anyway? Isn't that why we're following the Lord? Isn't that why we're serving the Lord? Because we want to fulfill what it is that God has called us to do on planet Earth. If it was just about getting our names, if it was just about saving us, we'd be out of here. We wouldn't have to live through the pain and the sorrow and the heartache and the sickness and the adversity and the pressures. The fact of the matter is, Earth and living on planet Earth are not always fun things to do. Isn't that true? It's not always fun to live here. But when you're compelled by an assignment, when you're compelled by a mission from God, then you have the ability to maintain and you have the ability to make a difference. Somebody may read about your life in the future and be inspired to follow Christ. We read about Nehemiah and we're inspired to follow Christ. Here's what Nehemiah says in chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. I went to Jerusalem, and after staying there for 3 days, I set out during the night with a few men. I had not told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. There were no mounts with me except the one I was riding on. Most scholars think, and we'll talk more about this next week, that Nehemiah spent somewhere around 4 months praying before he even went to the king. So he spent about 4 months praying and seeking God before he even went to the king to ask for permission to go to Jerusalem. There's something to be said about that. There's something to be said about the patience and the preparation, and we'll talk more about that next week. But the interesting thing about Nehemiah chapter 2 is he says this: I didn't tell anyone what God put in my heart to do. I knew that God was stirring my heart to do something, so what does he do? He goes and he spies out the land. He takes an 800-mile journey, which is not by airplane, which is not by train, which is not by automobile. He goes some 800 miles to Jerusalem for what? He doesn't know what he's going to run into. He doesn't know what's going to be there, really, but there's something on the inside of him. And he says, I didn't tell anybody what God put in my heart to do. The truth is, there's probably something stirring in your heart that you haven't told anybody about. There's probably something down on the inside of you that is compelling you to do something, and you haven't told anybody about it. Listen to the voice of the Lord. Listen to what God is telling you to do. Because if God has got an assignment for you to do, then it matters. It matters, and you've got to be willing to do it. You've got to be willing to step out. I'm glad that Nehemiah was willing to step out. Because of his willingness, others were blessed. When you and I step out and do what God has called us to do, our assignments, something assigned as a particular duty or task, a position of responsibility, when I step out and do that, others will be blessed. Is that not true? So the opposite is also true. If I don't step out and do what God has called me to do, then I rob you of a blessing. I rob you of a blessing. If Nehemiah wouldn't have stepped out and done what God had called him to do, he probably would have raised somebody else up, but Nehemiah would have robbed himself and others of a blessing. Let's not do that. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 17 through 18 say this: Then I said to them, you see the trouble that we are in. As God began to stir his heart and as he began to think about and examine the walls and the gates and everything that was going on, he begins to declare now publicly to the people. He says to them, "You see the trouble that we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us." Notice those words, "let us." Circle those two words. "Let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and we will no longer be a disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God that was upon me and what the king had said to me. They replied, 'Let us start rebuilding.' So they began this good work." Why didn't Nehemiah just wait for God to raise somebody else up? Why didn't he just stay cupbearer to the king? Why didn't he just wait for God to raise somebody else up? Because he couldn't. There was this holy discontent on the inside of him. There was something stirring on the inside of him that said, "I have to go." What do you let disqualify you from going? Do you let your age disqualify you from going? Do you let your life season disqualify you from going? Do you let circumstances or situations? We could come up with any number of lists of things that will disqualify us from going. But the fact of the matter is, if God put the stirring inside of our heart, we have the responsibility to step out. And God will work everything else out. We can read the end of the story and we know that God worked everything else out for Nehemiah. Because not only does Nehemiah fulfill his assignment, he goes back and then he leaves again and he comes back. So we get to read the rest of the story and the end of the story. But don't let circumstance or situation rob you of what God has. Nehemiah includes himself. He said, "Let us start rebuilding." In other words, he had this community mindset that said, it's not just about me, it's not just about an individual. Let us rebuild together. We need one another. If we're going to fulfill what God's called us to do, if we're going to move forward with 40 days of momentum, we need each other. We need you to fulfill what the assignments are that God has for you. You need for me to let God fulfill the assignments that he has for me. So number four is this then on your outline. What must we do when it comes to our assignment? Identify and move out in your assignment. It's not more difficult than that. Identify and move out in your assignment. Here's what I think separated Nehemiah maybe from other people. He had what it took, and he knew it. He had what it took, and he knew it in the core of who he was. And I think it got there because he prayed and he sought the Lord. He had what it took, and he knew it. We all have what it takes. The question is, do we know it? See, we all have what it takes because the Spirit of God lives inside of me. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of me. So I have what it takes. There's not a question of that. The question is, do I know it? Because if I know it, then I will step out. If I'm not stepping out, then the question is, why? And oftentimes it's because I don't know. I just don't know. God is wanting us to step out. Don't disqualify yourself for any reason. Age, circumstance, situation, it doesn't matter. So what do I need to do? I need to identify what my assignment was. Nehemiah did that. My assignment is I've got to go to Jerusalem. What's yours? I dare you to ask God. I dare you to ask God until you get an answer. God, what is my assignment? I know what my mission is. I am going to fulfill the great commandment and the great commission because I'm going to love you and I'm going to love others until I take my last breath. But under that umbrella, what's my assignment for now? Whether it's a 30-day assignment or a 30-year assignment, Lord, tell me what it is so I can put legs to it and I can move out and do it. That's what Nehemiah did. So identify and move out in your assignment. Number five is this. When it comes to our assignments, they're often specific and shared. Nehemiah's assignment was specific in that he was called by God to take that 800-mile journey. Most of the other people that were going to join him in his assignment already lived there. So your assignment is going to be both shared and specific. In other words, God's going to speak specific things to you, and as you begin to move out in your assignment, others are going to share in that assignment. Nehemiah said, "Let us rebuild the walls." We cannot, none of us, can do what God has called us to do without one another. That's why we're called the family of God. That's why we're called the body of Christ. That's why God said, "I will build my church." He wasn't talking about the building. He was talking about people. "I'll build my church and hell won't prevail. The gates of hell won't prevail against it." So have you identified your assignment? If not, start to wrestle that out with the Lord. Lord, what is my specific assignment right now? Because like that snow that kept coming down and coming down and coming down, it doesn't seem like, I'm thinking, how can that break such a big tree? How can that snap a tree the size of me like a twig? Sometimes the weights and the pressures of the world, they just start getting to us. And before we know it, we're not walking upright anymore. We're kind of walking hunched over, and we're kind of wore out by the world, and we're kind of wore out by the ways of the world and the pressures and the demands. There's something about an assignment that's on the inside of you that shakes all that snow off. I went home 3 times today. Right after prayer meeting, I went home another time, and I went home after work before I came here, and I'm tapping the trees and I'm shaking the snow off because I want those things to spring back to where they're supposed to be. When we get a hold of the assignments God has for us, it's like we spring back to that place that God wants us to be. And now all of a sudden we're walking and we're upright and we're fulfilling what God wants us to do. So your assignment is going to be specific. That's why you need to ask God what it is. And number 6 is this. And it's the reason that your assignment is specific. Your assignment requires you to use the gifts that God has given you. Your assignment requires you to use the gifts that God has given you. We were joking, and I mean joking, this morning. We're having the Taste of Faith dinner tonight, and there were 72 people that responded and said that they were going to the Taste of Faith. That's awesome. And it's happening right out here with Pastor George and Cheryl and some other table hosts. And we were joking yesterday and this morning at the office that there wasn't going to be a lot of staff members in here today because they're out there hosting tables. And I said, well, that's okay. I'll just lead worship and teach. You're supposed to laugh at that. Go ahead and laugh at that. I said, yeah, thank you. That wasn't a real laugh. I said, I'll just lead worship and teach. Can I just tell you right now that if I would have led worship or tried to lead worship, I would have stepped outside of my giftings? I promise you, yeah, amen is right. I would have stepped outside of my giftings. When we get a hold of our assignments, it's because God requires the gifts that He's given to us to be used. God's given me certain gifts, and they're the gifts that I have to use to fulfill my assignment. And it's not worshiping, and I know that, but I do know what my gifts are. Do you know what your gifts are? It's very important that you understand what your gifts are, because as God begins to assign things to you, as God begins to assign things for you to fulfill, it's going to flow with who you are and how you're gifted. That's the beauty of God working, and that's why Nehemiah was successful. He was an administrator. He was an organizer. He was able to rally people, and they came together, and they fulfilled the overall mission and assignment because it fit the sweet spot of Nehemiah's giftings. Here's what you can have confidence in. If you'll respond to that stirring of God in your heart, and you'll step out in the assignment that God has, it will fit right within your giftings. And that's why it'll work. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8 say this. We have different gifts according to the grace that was given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him serve. Let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, then let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. God has assignments for us. Turn your outline over. I just got to... another point that I want to make, and then we're going to close tonight. Another question on your outline is this. What are the fears, the failures, or the frustrations that are keeping you from your assignments? Are there fears? Are there failures? Are there frustrations? Are there things that are kind of keeping you locked in place, and they're keeping you from stepping out to fulfill your assignment? Pastor Roger mentioned this a couple weeks ago, and I've mentioned it, and you've heard me say it probably before. God had me close our church down several years ago, and it was a very difficult thing to do, but that assignment had to be fulfilled in order for me to fulfill the assignment that God has for me now. And it's been the dream of my heart to be on staff here for 30 years. Since 1981, it was a dream and desire of my heart to be on staff here at Faith Bible Chapel. God had to fulfill certain assignments over here for me to be ready for this assignment. And then I had to be willing and available to step into this assignment. If I wouldn't have done what God told me to do back here, I wouldn't be able to do what God's telling me to do here today. And oftentimes, failure or fear or frustration will keep us paralyzed, and it'll keep us from moving forward. So there's some lines on your outline, and if you can identify a fear or a failure or something that's keeping you from your assignment, you need to push through that. You need to push through that and say, I'm not going to let fear paralyze me any longer. Because I failed over here, I'm not going to let it keep me from doing what God's calling me to do today. If you don't do that, it'll be that weight thing again, and it'll begin to push us down. Push us down. The assignments are what lift us up. The assignments are what excite us about what God has for us. Number seven is this, final point. If I'm going to fulfill my mission and my assignment, I must abandon my agenda and accept God's agenda. I've got to say no to what I want to do, and I've got to say yes to what God wants to do. I have learned in 30 years of following the Lord, whenever I do that, it's always a win-win for me. Whenever I say no to me and yes to God, it always works out. Maybe not right in the beginning, but in the long run, it always works out. Isn't that true in your life too? It's just not always easy to do it at the moment. So I've got to abandon my agenda and accept God's. John chapter 14, verse 30 says this, I cannot talk with you much longer because the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but the world must know that I love the Father, and that is why I do everything that He commands me. Let us go from this place. Close to the end of the ministry of Jesus, Jesus was making it very clear to the disciples that everybody needs to know, especially you, that I'm coming to do exactly what my Father called me to do. In other words, I don't have my own agenda. I've come to fulfill the will of my Father. And that needs to be the desire of my heart, that God, I'm going to fulfill your agenda. So I'm asking you tonight, as we conclude, to think about your assignments. What is it that God is asking you to step out into? Let's stand to our feet tonight. What is it that God is asking you to step out into? What are the things that maybe for whatever reason you haven't been willing to step out into? I want to close with one more question, and it's on your outline. And the word is boldened, and it's in a larger font. What are you not willing to give up? What are you not willing to give up? Often that's a question that has to be answered, because sometimes we're crippled in fulfilling the assignment that God has for us because there's something I'm not willing to give up. I just don't want to give this up. I like it too much. If Nehemiah would have said, I don't want to give this up. I like my job. It's an easy job. I don't have to work hard. All I have to do is taste food and drink wine. It'd be a kind of nice job. Just taste food and drink wine. But he was willing to give that up. Is there something that you're not willing to give up? Because if there's something you're not willing to give up, it's going to keep you from fulfilling what God has for you. Just going to ask you to think about that statement for just a minute. And I'm going to pray for us, and I'm going to pray that tonight as we conclude our service, that we would be all in. In other words, no matter where we're at, no matter what's going on in life, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the financial pressures, relational pressures, whatever the demands are, God is bigger. God is bigger than all of that. And if we'll embrace God and we'll embrace the assignment, there will be a grace that's sufficient. And there will be a favor that will go with us to fulfill that. So, Father.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.